Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, round two of the Masters down at Augusta, Georgia. Weisberger currently in a three-way tie atop the leaderboard along with Mark Leishman, Justin Rose, all four under. Weisberger six under, though, today through 17, having a fantastic second round after shooting a 74 yesterday. Yeah, no question about that. Others in the top five, Brian Harman, Hideki Matsuyama, who is yet to tee off. He tees off actually right now in the next couple minutes or so. Just some other notables to keep an eye on. Jordan Spieth, who's coming off the Texas Open win this past weekend. He is two under and four under today, though, so you're having a good second round. He's through eight. As far as the local connections to the Masters so far, Gary Woodland, a rough go so far through 12, three over for the tournament, two over today. Robert Streb currently off the projected cut line of three over. He is four over for the tournament, one over today, so going to be a tall task for him, although he's only through five today to make sure he gets above the cut line.
Might want to get a couple more birdies. Get to that two just to make sure, although it seems like the cut line's going up based on course is playing hard.
High scores here in the spring at the Masters. Way different course conditions in the fall where Dustin Johnson won it at 20 under. Nobody's winning this thing at 20 under.
Some of it is, I guess, it's just really dry and everything's playing super, super, super duper fast and you're not expecting
greens. You saw the video,
a lot of rain.
The eagle putt that ended up in the water.
Yeah. Imagine having an eagle putt and then putting it in the water.
And it wasn't like it was – that was –
I'm not taking a drop on that. You guys can kick rocks if we're on the course together. If I had an actual, I've made one eagle in my life. If I had an actual eagle putt again and that made it, no way. No way. I've actually made one eagle. Successfully made
Where
an
at?
Actual eagle.
Where at?
It was at Winterstone. It's a course.
I don't even
local.
Know where that's at. Yeah.
I have someone who can attest. I hit a really good drive.
I'm not saying you're lying. I hit
a three iron in.
There you go.
And then I successfully made a putt. It was a nice day for me. It was a short par five. Let's be honest with ourselves. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals are off again. Another Friday off again after the shutout loss yesterday against Lance Lynn, who absolutely dominated KC. They sit at 3-3 on the season right now. They're obviously back to their normal rotation. But the second consecutive Friday off, I know they hit three openers. I know they haven't played a true night game yet. They started their game at 5:20 last night, so kind of almost a night game because of the rain delay. But it's been a really weird start, a pair of 1:10 starts both on Saturday and Sunday, which, of course, you can hear on 610 Sports Radio. But obviously frustrating after starting 3-1 to lose back-to-back. I still feel fine about where they are. I'm not like in a panic because they lost two games in a row, which will happen a million times in a baseball season. They just feel so much more heightened early in the year.
Yeah, this way you lose two in a row or three in a row in July, and it's not viewed the same way as you do it in the first week or so of the season. We'll talk more about Brad Keller here coming up because obviously it's been concerning his first two outings. We'll get to that momentarily. Next up on What's Trending, sticking with baseball. So the Dodgers' Trevor Bauer, he's now being investigated by baseball with potentially some foreign substances on multiple baseballs, according to The Athletic. So in that report, it mentions the balls had visible markings and were sticky, the baseballs did. So this is something that Major League Baseball warned teams about regarding doctoring of baseballs and foreign substances. They said they were going to take it more seriously than ever this year. And so far, this is kind of like the first shot and maybe warning to everybody again in season. A week into the year, and you've got Trevor Bauer under investigation. The umpires obviously collected multiple baseballs through that, and now they're going to do a deep dive and see what's up.
They've
Trevor Bauer, of course, has attacked Ken Rosenthal for the report. Has called him a
gossip columnist,
fake journalist, and gossip blogger. Yeah,
Apparently, this Trevor Bauer is not the only player this happened to. That's part of the reason he's frustrated. Like, he's being singled out, but they pulled in multiple balls. They're trying to prevent people from cheating. Trevor Bauer was once on a podcast and said he thought 70% of baseball pitchers were doctoring the ball. If the number is that high, he's probably not alone. Yeah. And that might be low. Sure seems like, a little suntan lotion, pine tar, scuff, scratch, whatever you got to do to get it. To get the grip is, about there. He's openly admitted to, using pine tar in a game once and found that the RPMs on his baseball was higher and all this. It's a whole thing.
He wasn't happy that Ken Rosenthal
called him out. Reported it, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, he's a reporter. Trevor, I don't know. I like Trevor Bauer. I'd have been fine if he was here. He's a reporter. His job is to report. You and your balls got sent back to Major League Baseball. So, sorry. That's the way it's going to go. Next up on What's Trending, reports out of the NFL draft. It's moved around a lot. On 3-4-5 line, essentially, people are having a hard time predicting if it really is going to be Mac Jones for the 49ers. One rumor today suggesting they were interested in actually taking Kyle Pitts, not taking a quarterback. And Kyle Shanahan's going to play chess, not checkers, and line up
Kittle and Pitts
next to each other.
Goodness.
I don't know if they'd actually do that. But another report out of Dallas is Jerry Jones is the coach who's most recently become infatuated with him. And with the Falcons sitting at 4, rumors that they've officially finally agreed on what to do on pick 4, although not exactly sure, there's a lot of movement. The Falcons are the linchpin. Half of the organization reportedly wanted them to take a quarterback and move on from Matt Ryan in a year. The other half reportedly wanted them to, probably trade down, let the team who wanted to take a quarterback get up there. They're kind of the linchpin between the two. But if the Cowboys want Pitts, I think someone's going to trade up and take Pitts because he's going to go in the top 5 in my mind.
Everyone's
falling in love with him, man.
It's universal at this point in time and how special people think he could be.
I'm trying to think of the last tight end I remember being talked about like this, and it was probably Vernon Davis. So to remind me, what's the last tight end where everyone's like, my God, this guy's a freak? Vernon Davis comes to mind because he was an absolute, but he was a freak athlete. It wasn't even he was open all the time at college.
I have the answer. Now it seems silly because the guy's clearly got some serious issues and is in prison. But Kellen Winslow Jr. was a 6 overall pick, and people really talked him up.
Okay, they did hype him up.
But he obviously...
Yeah, there was a lot of hype around Eric Ebron, TJ Hockenson.
And tight end for the Lions, yeah. Next up on What's Trending, little debut and season opener for the new KC women's soccer team in WSL. Their first match today, actually. Up in Portland against the Thorns FC, 9:30.
Terrible name. Casey's definitely going to win.
Casey doesn't have a name yet.
Well, that's better than Thorns FC.
Thorns.
It's like the Washington football team was better than their last name. They should just keep it.
Thorns FC. Huh.
9:30.
Portland Timbers is the MLS team, and then the women's team is Thorns. So Timbers and Thorns, the Portland soccer teams.
That makes them sound inferior. I don't care for that.
Thorns.
Like a thorn would be a piece of a timber. That makes it seem like they're lesser than. I don't appreciate that approach. Either way, if you want to listen to it or if you want to watch it, 9:30 tonight on Paramount Plus. I'd be interested to see how they do. They were not super watched when they were here the first time, but Kansas City's got a real they do really well with soccer. I was happy to see Brittany Matthews, Patrick Mahomes' wife, bring the team back to Kansas City with a bunch of other ownership group. It'll be interesting. I'll try to catch some of that game tonight. 9:30 is a bit of a late start for me on a Friday. Might have some other stuff going on. Lastly, on
what's
trending.
What are you doing tonight? What are you doing? You got a big party planned?
9:30? I don't usually start sporting events at 9:30.
You got big plans?
Maybe.
Working on the golf game? Are you baking something? What's up?
I was going to bake something for you guys today. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Serta, we did miss it. We were supposed to get a dessert or something today, weren't we?
Oh, man. Can I just bring it Monday?
I was supposed to bring you guys kickstarts today.
Yeah,
I
need to do that.
Has it already come in? Prime?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Prime.
Oh, yeah.
2D
it
Prime,
got there,
baby.
Yeah, it got
Prime
there shipping. Yesterday, huh. And I meant to grab 2 extra ones out of the fridge, and I forgot.
Actually, it's better on a Monday. You need to pick me up on a Monday more than you do on a Friday. Everybody's feeling good. It's Friday. Nice weather. Monday's
the day. Do
you
want a savory or a sweet baked good for Monday?
I just got to know what it is.
Savory or sweet?
I got it.
That's a very
savory.
Sweet.
Now you gotta make 2 things.
You guys gotta get on the same page.
What are our options?
I don't know. I haven't looked.
We talked about cookies, right?
Yeah, but that's too. I'm fine. I'll make cookies and something savory. Cookies will take me 2 seconds. Cookies will legitimately take me 20 minutes in the kitchen. You want chocolate chip cookies for Monday? They will take me zero time.
Chocolate
at all.
Chip cookies sound fantastic.
You like a chewier,
yeah.
Crispier,
doughier.
A bigger, a smaller, a middle size?
Like a little doughier chocolate
chip. I can make you some out of the sourdough.
Someone says just cut the crust off for a PB&J for gold and you're done. Uncrustable slam.
I'm going to bring him in an Uncrustable.
Bring me an Uncrustable. I'll eat it. If you brought me an Uncrustable pack of those on Monday, I'll eat them all throughout the show. Absolutely.
Should I be buying my kids Uncrustables? I don't want to start that game. They can just...
They are expensive for how many you get in a box. It is kind of crazy.
Well, I want to start teaching her, like, she was, like, helping make the sandwich the other day. Like, I've taught her to get the stool out, get the peanut butter out. She knows where the knife is. She knows where the bread is. I'm, like, 6 months away from her making this sandwich herself.
There you go.
I'm, like, moving in a good direction. I'm about teaching them stuff so I'm eventually off the hook.
I mean, that seems like
I've seen those
plan,
milk
right?
dispensers, like where you can like pump milk into like a cereal bowl because my kid likes, you know, like cereal milk sometimes. Very tempted.
Milk dispenser.
Very tempted. Ryan Wachowski from the morning
show. That concerns me a little bit in terms, I feel like that would get nasty pretty quick. Like, no, I'm not like.
Oh, like gummed up on the inside?
Yeah. I feel like that would be a little, after a little while.
That could be a problem.
I mean, I guess if each day you're cleaning it out or something, but you're not going to clean it out each day.
I could just get him like a small, we go through milk fast.
How many gallons are we talking?
Two a week.
Okay.
And just to be clear, I don't ever just drink milk on its own. That's just two small children going through that amount. It's probably more like 2 gallons every week and a half or 10 days, 11 days. But it's a frequent amount of milk. The one kid in particular, the two-year-old, never stops drinking milk. It's like the only beverage he's interested in.
That's good.
Would you like some juice? No. Milk. Would you like some water? No. Milk. That's all he drinks. Just milk.
Nothing wrong with that.
I buy like the little quart things of milk for cooking, because if I buy anything over that, I'll forget about it and it'll just go bad.
No. You don't even get through that amount? I like cooking like macaroni or stuff. We always have it around.
I want to start eating more cereal. I've been thinking about it.
You've mentioned this like eight times.
I haven't eaten
just
cereal in years because I don't ever buy milk.
Buy some cereal. What kind are you going to go with? Are you going to dip your toe back in the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Waters, or you got to start slower?
I kind of want to try some like healthy cereals and see which ones I like.
Join the Cheerios Club. Just join. Get that cholesterol down.
If I get those Cheerios, it's for sure going to be Honey Nut or possibly Frosted Cheerios.
Just get the regular Cheerios.
There's no way I'm getting plain Cheerios.
Honey Nut Cheerios, strong Cheerios.
Throw a banana in there.
Nothing wrong with some plain Cheerios.
Good bowl of cereal.
I heard it's a grape nut shortage, so you're probably out on that, although that probably qualifies as a healthy cereal.
I can't comment on the milk stuff. You guys know I don't drink milk, so and I don't have milk in the fridge or anything like that. I don't even use it with my cereal. So just have the cereal dry.
So you just never buy milk? It's just never there?
Just eat plain Cheerios.
Since I've been in my apartment, I haven't had milk in the fridge, no.
I don't think there's a plainer cereal you could get than Cheerios with nothing on them and no milk.
There's no food more plain on this earth than that dish.
Yeah, but
maybe a Triscuit.
Triscuits are nasty.
I'm shocked you didn't like Triscuits.
No, ugh. Triscuits are gross. There's no taste.
He's complaining about the taste of plain Triscuits.
There's taste of the plain Cheerios.
Triscuits have salt.
Yeah, there's some taste to the plain Cheerios. Nothing wrong with Cheerios. Surprised you don't just have those all around the house. You got
Triscuits or Cheerios.
Someone on the text line, Gold, what's your stance on milkshakes? Oh, again, absolutely love milkshakes. I'm not I'm not lactose intolerant or anything like
just
that.
Just doesn't drink milk.
I don't
or put
drink
milk anything.
Like when I was growing up, I had to take calcium supplements because I was not getting calcium. So like, I didn't drink milk growing up. Just didn't. Yeah.
At the very least, you need for like cooking purposes.
Yeah, but yes, but I don't.
You're here taking calcium supplements. I would just make my kid drink milk. Like, you're drinking milk.
If I'm gonna drink milk anyway, it needs to be chocolate milk. I won't eat. Just regular milk.
That's not a good plan. Uh-uh. I don't mind regular milk. I just don't drink it on its own very often.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, your next chance at $1,000 international cash contest. And we'll talk some draft with Kent Swanson, lead draft analyst from Arrowhead Pride. They got their great KC draft guide out. If you haven't taken a look at that, you're trying to figure out some more about these tackles that could go at number 31 or wide receivers, you name it. Great stuff as always from them. We'll check in with Kent in just a little bit. But we were talking about the Royals during What's Trending, and they have today off, yes. Yesterday, they lose to Lance Lynn and the White Sox shutout, but it was another outing for Brad Keller that certainly did not go as planned. And this is back-to-back outings to open up the 2021 campaign, man, where he just hasn't looked right. And yes, the start got pushed back. There were some injury concerns. I don't think he's hurt. I feel like we would have had a little bit more clarity on that by now. It sounds like at this point his command's not there and he's not as confident in his pitching. But this is really concerning because even if you want to say it was the White Sox lineup, this is now the Rangers lineup. This is now the White Sox lineup. And he's given you in two starts, 4 2/3 of an inning, and his ERA is almost 20. I mean, it has been really, I think, frustrating, not only for him, clearly, but if you're a Royals fan and you have these grand plans like we all do for them to be 74-plus wins this year and take that step forward, he has to be part of it. And through two games, the one area you felt really good about, or the one pitcher, has been the worst pitcher in the small sample size.
I'm obviously worried. And then you try to like deep dive into the numbers like we all do, right? Alec Lewis does that, or I do. Like, I went through some of the normal statistics you would look at that would tell you if someone's just being unlucky or bad. Because sometimes pitchers are unlucky. Sometimes hitters are unlucky.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're hitting bad and the numbers suggest they are bad, right? It's like sometimes a hitter is hitting well and you're like, okay, well, his batting average ball in play is 7 million times higher than the major league average. So he's probably going to come crashing back to earth at some point versus this being a sustainable model of success. There are some numbers that at least suggest Brad Keller's a little bit unlucky. But to me, he is just, his command is bad. And that usually comes from one of two things. You have a slight injury, which even if it's not major gold, like you said, like he's pitching every day, they're not going to mention it, he's mostly fine, which can impact small amounts of how he handles his business, or there is a small mechanical difference that is making a big difference in his conviction and accuracy of pitches. Though the good news is the second one is very correctable. And Brad Keller over 2 years has been a very super consistent pitcher. Like, you can count on the number of days a year he has a bad start versus he's just Brad Keller. He goes out there, his fastball's the same speed, his slider's the same speed. He gets the similar number of strikeouts. He's Mr. Consistent. So I'm not going to get bogged down by two games and panic yet. I hate that he was the one pitcher I thought I could count on, and now I have to question that, at least for now. Because I wonder if he's the guy you could count on now.
I mean, just listen to him after the game yesterday, and he said he thinks he's maybe trying to do too much.
I think I just got to get back into attack mode. Just got to keep going at guys. Just got to kind of establish fastball, especially on the inner half. I feel like I've kind of gotten away from my strengths there, just kind of throwing fastballs away. I think I just got to get back to doing what I did best in previous years, and that's, you know, pitching to the skinny part of the bat and getting weak contact and keeping the ball on the ground. I'm just trying to do too much right now.
That, and he also would go on to say that some of his pitches, maybe he's not pitching with confidence with some of his pitches, which, so, you know, a little concerning. Yes, it's correctable, right? It's not an injury, but it's a little concerning because it's not year one or two or three for Brad Keller in the rotation. Like, this is a guy that he's your number one pitcher, supposed to be, at least on paper, heading
in. You're not getting outs, man. It's easy to slide into that.
Yeah, right. But like, it's, you would think that if you're going to have that type of pressure of being the number one pitcher on the staff, that hopefully we're not talking about confidence. And so we'll see. Again, as you said, it's just two starts in this thing. It's just, we know what big picture for this team to be what we hope they are as the season goes on. He's got to be right. He's got to get it figured out. Now, it is game two starts of many, 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 many to come this year in 162-game schedule for the Royals. But, you know, in considering it came also against the White Sox, who owned the Royals a year ago. Not necessarily, actually, Brad Keller didn't even pitch against the White Sox last year. The Royals did, but he never actually faced the White Sox, and despite the White Sox record against Kansas City. But everybody's viewpoint, I think, is on Brad Keller as well, and this Royals season is a little bit skewed because of the way it all went down. So, like, if they're 3-3, they're 500, which, by the way, before the season, if you would have told me they're 500 through six, I would have taken it.
I'd have been like, okay, that's
fine.
But
it's because they,
I wouldn't have been excited, but I mean, that's fine.
But it's because two of those three were against what we think will be a bad Rangers team, and two of those starts were bad outings from Brad Keller. Like, if you're trying to be optimistic about it, you could say, well, they're 3-3.
And they're 1-2 against Cleveland and Chicago right now.
Yeah, they're 3-3, and Brad Keller had two really bad outings, and Mondesi's been on the IL, and Dozier's missed a couple games already and hasn't got right yet because he's just kind of getting back in the flow of things. And yet they're still 500. Now, I think view can change, certainly, depending on how the rest of this week goes. Not big picture stuff, but if they get swept by the White Sox and they're on Monday, we're doing the show, and they're 3-5, and it's the White Sox again beating up on them, you know, and then the good starts that we saw from Duffy and Minor, you know, that those are unlikely to keep up. But if Brady Singer has a rougher outing, again. Like, it just changes, I think, our mindset on where they're going to be for the first month or so of the season. But let's see what the weekend brings, Saturday and Sunday, against a good White Sox team. The one thing I like about this weekend is you don't see Giolito. You already saw Lance Lynn. Like, the you just faced Bieber 2 days ago. Like, the pitching matchups in terms of the concerns that the offense presents right now, the lack of runs from the Royals, the pitching matchups ease up on them. And so hopefully it's more about, hey, they were just facing Shane Bieber and Lance Lynn, who actually pitched well last year as well. He's not a Cy Young guy, but he pitched well last year. Hopefully it's just that and not a sign of bigger problems with the lineup.
Well, and that's, you know, yeah, it's because the offense is also not hitting. The Brad Keller stuff seems amplified.
Sure.
If they had won one of the other two starts in which the starting pitching didn't perform because the offense did it, you'd be like, well, starting pitching will settle. The problem is starting pitching is usually better in the early part of the year, and it's been kind of the opposite of that for Kansas City. They've only gotten two good starts in six games, so you feel like they're kind of fortunate to be 500, but I still feel better. I still feel okay. Like, we did the one word to describe, I still feel okay. I'd like them to perform better, but I'm not going to panic on Brad Keller just yet. One of the most consistent pitchers in baseball over the last 2 years.
We'll talk some more Royals baseball coming up a little bit later this hour, as a matter of fact, and more on, yeah, the offense versus the starting pitching and where the concern level is at and everything in just a little bit. But the conversations in the offseason around the past Super Bowl champs, or the current Super Bowl champs, I should say, in the Tampa Bay Bucks. So they were on, Bart Scott was on NFL Live yesterday, was talking about quarterback situations, and they had the most bizarre discussion, by the way.
Stupid is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, that's correct. It was an absolutely dumb conversation. Quarterback situation. Who has a better one? The Bucks or the Chiefs? That was a real, serious question they posed on ESPN yesterday. Now, the result of that prompted this answer from Bart Scott about the Chiefs and what they did in the Super Bowl.
Well, for me, I'd rather have the Chiefs because I think that Mahomes is the best quarterback in the game right now. And I think if they played that game 10 times, I think that the Chiefs win 9 of
those
times.
Even with the offensive line issues they had?
If they had the offensive line, that was a gift to the Bucs. Well, because if they would have had the offensive line, their team would have been healthy. And I know, like, listen, I think they got the Chiefs at the right time, feeling themselves, thinking they can just turn it on. And because they had beat them before, they thought it was going to be easy. I think I'd rather have Mahomes, the baddest man on the planet, and, you know, obviously, they're reloading out there right now.
All right, Chris, before you answer, I just got to do this. You put an asterisk on LeBron's championship in the bubble. Why wouldn't you put an asterisk on Tom Brady's championship because the Chiefs didn't have their offensive line?
I mean, no, you play who you play. Like, the injuries are part of it. The bubble was a different environment. No traveling, certain, you know, different situations. I think different. You know, I mean, I think Pandemic Pete don't have a nervous breakdown if he ain't sitting there, you know, at Magic Kingdom all for 2 months.
That was Bart Scott. Yeah, like, nobody, like, the Bucks won that game fair and square. The 9 out of 10, I think, is actually probably still high. Like, he's saying the Chiefs would have won 9 out of 10 times if they had Eric Fisher and a healthy offensive line. There's a lot of things that go into it. Do I think the Chiefs, it could have been 50-50, they would have had won half the games and all that? Sure, but you're also asking for Fisher to be healthy, Schwartz to be healthy, and everything to go perfect as well. It was more than just the offensive line issues that the Chiefs had in that Super Bowl. So I disagree that, like, the Chiefs would have won that game 9 out of 10.
They win 5 out of 10.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's 50-50. Yeah, I mean, it's
6 out of 10.
But it's not. They're not winning 90% of the time against the Bucs in that scenario.
I still think when healthy, they had the better roster.
Right, but that doesn't mean you're winning 9 out of 10 in a Super Bowl.
No. No, they don't. Like, 9 out of 10 in a Super Bowl is asking an awful lot.
How they got to that discussion was just absurd.
Who even pitched that? Who pitched that in the meeting? Hey, let's talk about who has a better quarterback situation. The guy who has a 67-year-old who has a couple years left, or the guy getting ready to enter his prime, who has a Super Bowl, has been to two Super Bowls, and an MVP since turning 25. Like, no, I'm not having this conversation. That's what I like about Bart Scott. He's like, no, it's stupid. Of course the Chiefs have the better quarterback situation, and if they were just healthy on the offensive line, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Yeah. Nobody in the league has a better quarterback situation. It's just a dumb question. Nobody in the league has a better quarterback situation. It's what a dumb question.
Like, do the same thing we do on this show. I actually saw a headline for, was Laremy Tunsil the best value first-round pick since 2017, right?
Thanks to the bong video.
Non-Mahomes category. That's how they put it. The non-Mahomes category. Because if we have any of these conversations, who has the best quarterback situation in the NFL? Non-Mahomes category.
Yeah.
Who's been the best draft pick in the last 10 years in the NFL draft? Non-Mahomes category. When, you know, like, whatever you want to do, You just have to create scenarios in which he's not a part of the conversation, because then otherwise there's no point in having the conversation. That's the quarterback we all know he is.
Coming up next, your chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest, and we'll talk some draft with Kent Swanson at Arrowhead Pride. Where are they going at 31?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here on Cody and Gold, get to Kent Swanson, lead draft analyst over at Arrowhead Pride. But right now, it is your next chance at $1,000.
Your dash for the cash code word this hour is magical. As in, it's magical. We'll get to talk to Kent Swanson here in a minute. Talk to him about the KC Draft Guide. M-A-G-I-C-A-L. Text that over to 72881 for a chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. Message and data rates may apply. The cash contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app today. That was magical. M-A-G-I-C-A-L over to 72881. Do you think I need to spell these slower? Like, I assume I'm supposed to spell them so that people text the correct thing, and I spell it kind of quick.
Some words need to be spelled. Others are self-explanatory, right?
Just look up like Patrick Mahomes and then synonyms, and surely magical, the spelling of it will show up.
I'm going to say magical is one you'll
worry about. Two spells, that's it.
That's, yeah. Move on. If you can't spell magical after hearing it twice, I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, man, some people struggle with spelling.
Two is a lot.
Some kids get stuck in the gifted program, and they don't put you in spelling when you do that in elementary school. So you just get stuck being like smart at other things and terrible at spelling. I have a friend who is a doctor. She is very smart, terrible speller. Well, yeah, her whole life.
But you're telling them twice. You're spelling it out twice. Magical.
Just saying, should I spell it out slower? That's all.
I think you're good.
Okay.
I think you're
right. We spent enough time on the cash contest.
Well, we got to keep spending some more time on the NFL draft, though, as we get closer and closer to that on April 29th, that Thursday night. First round. Chiefs, of course, right now slated to have the 31st overall pick. And let's bring in the lead draft analyst over at Arrowhead Pride, of course, part of the KC Draft Guide, Kent Swanson. Kent, good to have you on the show, man. I actually have the draft guide pulled up right in front of me. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of that a little bit and some of the particular players. But a conversation that Cody and I were having yesterday was about Brett Veach and kind of his draft strategy. And we know he tends to be more of an aggressive general manager. In fact, he hasn't, right, traded down in the draft. How do you think, just seeing how free agencies played out and how aggressive they were, at least trying to get Trent Williams, trying to get Juju Smith-Schuster, do you expect that aggressiveness to continue this year?
Yeah, I could see it very much so, because, you know, this team has a gaping hole at left tackle that they really haven't solved yet. And this is a year where there's some quality tackles. There's some, some players that the Chiefs might need to look up. And if a guy falls to a certain range, they probably need to be aggressive to go identify a tackle and grab him. Because, I mean, I'm terrified of what's happening over on the left side. Patrick Mahomes is blindsided right now. And I think you've got to at least consider an aggressive move. And Brett Veach has proven to be a guy that will do that.
Well, let's say they trade up in the first round. They take their tackle. At some point, Brett Veach has got to show that curveball, right? I feel like we're getting into like baseball offseason. I'm like, hey, man, you got a third pitch in the draft? Because it's not that he doesn't normally trade down. He never trades down, Kent. Like, it straight up doesn't happen. Most people do a little bit of everything in the draft. He refuses to trade down.
Yeah, he kind of he doesn't have a track record of doing it. It sounds like they might have been a little bit receptive of the idea of trading back last year at 32, but the phone stopped ringing after Jordan Love got off the board. So, I mean, I will say this. He has at least mentioned that he's thought about trading back. But, hey, actions speak louder than words, and we haven't seen it yet. It would be – this could be, you know, if the tackle run starts too early for them to get in striking distance of one of these guys, it may not be a terrible idea this year to try to trade back, you know, maybe get one of those second-tier tackles in the second round, accumulate another top 100-ish pick, and add more quality depth. In a draft that, you know, like the 40 to 100 range, I think is pretty good in this class.
As far as those tackles, if they were to say, you know what, we're gonna trade up. We think we got to trade up to 24 to get them. What tackle would you view as one that, hey, if he slides to that 22 to 28 range and he's there, that you think that the Chiefs would be in the mix for actually willing to trade up? Is there one tackle where you're like, man, you can't miss this guy if he's there at 24?
So I think the guy that makes the most sense for the Chiefs in a potential trade-up, if you're looking at the board, you're looking at who could be there, you're looking at the upside, even some of the thresholds, the arm length thresholds that these teams really actually do adhere to when it comes to the tackle position. The guy that I think the Chiefs could potentially trade up for is Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech. I expect Penei Sewell to be gone. I expect Rashawn Slater to be gone pretty early. But I could see, you know, maybe if Christian Darrisaw starts falling into the 20s somewhere. I think he's a guy that fits the profile, who's played over on the left side, has a good athletic profile. There's some things about his game that are fixable. There's some questions about maybe his effort and his consistency. But if the team feels comfortable about that, that's a guy you move up for. I mean, he's a guy that can man the left side for a long time for Patrick Mahomes.
Ken, as we get back into the draft here in just a second, I am curious, what do you think of the draft hats?
Here's the thing. I've got a lot of tape.
It's much better than last year's.
It's much better than every year. Like the NFL drops the ball every single year on the draft hat. So minor progress towards something respectable. Yes, the Bills hat looks like the charcoal company, whatever. Yes, the Chiefs hat kind of looks like a Wendy's sign. Yeah, I get it. You know, this is better than. Do you remember the fountain hat?
Oh yeah.
They tried to incorporate the Chiefs fountain flag or the Kansas City fountain flag. Like, we've had some abysmal swings at these things, and I will take what this version, except for just making a snapback. Why not make it a snapback? That's my only critique right now.
When it's a trucker hat, I feel like that's the play. I don't understand that. I don't know. Understand why they made them all gray. Gray is the worst color to put on any hat or jersey, and it should die in a fire.
It's like the only thing that can complement every single team's color scheme, though. Like, that's the thing. They try to standardize these things a little bit to try to fit 32 different color schemes, 32 different styles. Like, that's the problem we have here. It's a failed attempt every single time. I'm sure they sell a lot of them. You know, like, this is, I mean, it's always a money grab, right?
Have you ever bought a draft hat?
I have not.
Look, I've seen the Arrowhead Pride hats. They look 1,000 times better than this crappy draft hat. I can't stand the design. It does look like a trucker hat, and it's like this huge plate that's on the front of it. It's terrible.
They just overthink it. Like, one time they put the city skyline in the bill of the hat, and I think I've won that hat, but I don't think I've ever spent a dime on one of these.
I'd wear it at, like, the lake.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement.
If someone
a ringing endorsement.
If someone gave me this draft, but that's better than I'd say about the last five draft hats. If someone gave me this draft hat, I'd wear it at the lake. That feels like a win. That's a lot better than all
I'd
the
wear
others.
It in the dark.
Away from everyone else to see you get. It's a small improvement. That's what it takes. I know we spent a lot of time talking about offensive tackle. I'm desperately in want of a wide receiver, despite DeMarcus Robinson's predictions of trying to go for 1,010 touchdowns. I know it's deep at that position, Ken. If they didn't go offensive tackle for whatever reason with the first pick, would you entertain wide receiver?
I I think I would, with the caveat that there's probably some other guys that I would like in other positions a little bit better. But, I mean, Rashad Bateman, a wide receiver out of Minnesota, is a guy that actually really would fit here in Kansas City. That makes sense from a value perspective. I believe he's in our top 30, top 35 in the KC draft guide. He's a guy that profiles as an X receiver. So the Chiefs don't really have a guy that's going to line up on the line of scrimmage like Sammy Watkins and beat press and win contested catches. You know, catch situations, they don't really have very many of those guys. So that's a guy that, you know, he fits the value at pick 31 at least. There's probably guys I like a little bit better at different positions. But, I mean, if the Chiefs went and grabbed a guy like him, wouldn't have any qualms at all.
Kent, how deep would you say this wide receiver class is, though? Just, you know, last year that was a huge topic. Everybody's talking it up. And then even after suit as last year's draft ended, everybody's like, well, next year's might be even deeper. I mean, how deep is this? And if that's the case, is it more likely, in your opinion, that the Chiefs wait till the third round to pick up one of these wide receivers?
I think the Chiefs would be smart to wait till later in the draft to identify and grab a wide receiver, because I do think there is a lot of quality players that are up and down the draft board all the way into day three. So, yeah, I think it's an opportunity cost, you know, to draft a wide receiver early, you know, especially since I don't think, you know, you're always, even like edge might be the move in round one, and then you go and grab a tackle round two, and then look to identify one of these quality receivers in round three. Because I'm telling you, there is a lot of guys, even guys that fit that X profile that I just kind of talked about with Bateman, that make a lot of sense, that can make this football team better, that can, you know, have some production short and long term. I think that's probably the move, is to wait.
Speaking here with Kent Swanson, lead draft analyst over at Arrowhead Pride. They've got several needs, Kent, and we know that about them kind of going into this draft. Do you think that they actually need all 8 picks? We've talked about them being a little bit more aggressive. When you view Kansas City about where their roster is, are there that many holes needing filled in Kansas City still?
I think they might need all 8 when it's all said and done. And I've kind of been back and forth on that. But when I look at how they've addressed free agency, you know, they've addressed some of these positions that they have and some, you know, issues they have on the roster with a lot of 1-year deals. It's not like they have a ton of players, you know, long term in their plans. And so I think they need to take 8 swings potentially on some players that could potentially be long term solutions for this football team beyond just, you know, 2021's roster, because, you know, they don't have a ton of guys signed. They have, you know, key positions of, you know, the premium positions, you know, in the National Football League. Yeah, they have quarterback locked up, but tackle, nope. Edge, not really. They don't have these addressed long-term cornerback. I mean, they need more solutions for the future. So getting, you know, a bunch of swings in this draft class, you know, trading back, that's why trading back could be interesting, because maybe you acquire another, you know, early pick, and hopefully you can develop that guy into a long-term solution for your football team.
Kent, I know you guys have a certain tight end that you're comparing perhaps to George Kittle. How can people get the KC draft guide to read up on comparisons like that getting set for the draft here in a few weeks?
Oh, I love that tease. Go to gum.co/KCDraftGuide21, gum.co/KCDraftGuide21. You can get our 300-page Chiefs book for $9.99 still. So we've put a lot of work into it. It's been a really great team effort, and we've got a ton of write-ups and profiles on a bunch of different players, specifically how they fit the Chiefs. You're not going to find that anywhere else in a big book like that.
That George Kittle, by the way, that is for a tight end that could be available to the
That's
Chiefs
right.
in the second
That's
or third
right.
round. So
uh-huh.
No reason not to buy
I'm
it
not,
now.
I'm not giving the name. Y'all are going to have to buy the book.
That's right. Exactly. Kent Swanson from Arrowhead Pride. They do a great job with their KC draft guide. Kent, I'm sure we'll check in a few more times before we get to the 29. Thanks as always.
Anytime, boys.
There you go, Kent Swanson. Yeah, the KC draft guide. I mean, you look up and you see someone being compared to George Kittle. You get a little excited with that.
Especially when they're available in the middle
yeah,
rounds.
Yes. The only hint we'll give is, like, it's not someone that's going to be gone in the top 5 of the
Kyle
draft.
It's not Kyle Pitts. That's all you need to say.
Yeah.
It's not Kyle Pitts.
No, it's not him. Yeah, it's not him. It's someone that's a little realistic, actually, that could be there.
But I did look up the Bills draft hat. It does look like the Kingsford logo.
Kingsford charcoal. Yeah.
It's not great.
Kingsford charcoal. I bet you could go through, and I'm sure some website, it seems like something that, like, for the win, for USA Today's For the Win, that they'll go and do. They'll probably go each team one by one and find a comparison to a business. Because the Chiefs one, you've shown, people have compared it to the Wendy's logo a little bit on the draft hat. The Bills is the charcoal, Kingsford charcoal. I'm sure you can go team by team and figure
the gray behind starts to make it look like a logo.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, think about what that. The fountain one was last year.
That I thought the fountain was 2 years ago. Was that 2 years ago? I don't think it was. I could be wrong. I thought it was a few years ago. But
that one was really awful. You know what? Maybe last year was the one that they tried to wear black and they tried to make it look neon.
It was for Vegas. Remember, it was supposed to be in Vegas. And so they made it like the lights, the signs, the neon signs in Vegas and all that. These are Cleveland, which, by the way, isn't their owner owning Pilot? Jay, doesn't he own Pilot? Flying J Travel Centers or whatever it is, or not the same thing. They're two different companies, but you get what I'm saying. Maybe that's why. It's drafts in Cleveland. We're going to do a trucker hat because the draft's in Cleveland and their owner owns truck stops. There you go.
How can you take this many swings at it and be bad?
I know baseball has a rough go with some of their hats too, right? Now they've got quite a few options, but it's tough, man. People are going to be picky about it no matter what, but yeah, I don't like the look this year at all. Not at all. There you go.
I like it better than last year's. I like it better than the year before.
Hey, let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Serta. Sorry, I'm looking up what 2018 draft hat looked like.
Gotcha.
Oh, that one sucked too. God. Do you remember this one? The like gray one with this one. Also bad.
Oh, yeah. Just
God, they're just no good at making draft hats. It's terrible. The random question of day brought to you by the Window Source of Kansas City. For you, Gold. For you, Certain. Over in the text line, 913-576-7610. I want to know, what activity did your parents stop letting you do after you got hurt, broke something in the house that, you know, maybe they let you get away with for a little while? Sometimes as parents, as I can speak to, I guess, for the first 4 years of my kid's life, two or the other, you let them do some stuff for a while. Like maybe it's jump on the bed. And then they fall off the bed, and you're like, all right, look, I got to nip this in the bud. For example, I still let my kids jump in the bed. I have not their bed. I try to draw a line somewhere, I guess. But, you know, like, there's activities to do. So, for instance, my kids, my parents, when we were kids, we used to play with real baseballs in the backyard. And not like we were throwing them at the house, but, like, hit grounders to each other and throw the ball to first. Well, we shattered a sliding glass door, and we broke windows. And from then on out, we were only allowed tennis balls in the backyard. Like, that was the rule. You could play backyard baseball, but it had to be a tennis ball. So that was one of those things that, like, for a while they let us get away with, but we had to nip that in the butt.
Yeah, who hasn't broken a window?
But we were breaking too many. Like, the rate was too high. We couldn't do it.
Yeah, for me, I never, like, broke a bone doing it or anything, but, like, always, like, the trampoline was always, like, we were never going to be the trampoline house. The trampoline was never going to be happening growing up. In the backyard. Well, also, our backyard was not going to work for it. Like, our backyard is slanted quite a bit. Like, you wouldn't be able to find a level area to put that trampoline to begin with.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could have been on a neighbor's if they had found out you were on a neighbor's trampoline, yeah, would they have been mad?
When I was little, I would have been in trouble, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. My parents would let us get on the trampoline. They weren't trying to police that. By the way, this question came up because my kids, we have, like, a flight of stairs. You guys have both been to my house. We got a flight of stairs right by the front door. And they like to stand at the top of the stairs and then just, like, you know, extend out their arms and legs and then slide down on their stomachs down the stairs. And, like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, they seem like they enjoy it. Nobody's getting hurt. So it seemed like, well, you know, why am I? It's kind of loud, but, like, whatever. Their kids are 4 and 2. They should get to have a little fun. We're, you know, a little loose rule-wise in this house. So it's like, yeah, okay. But then yesterday, Desmond, the 2-year-old, was sliding down, somehow, like, got his foot caught. Uh-oh. Maybe, like, 4 stairs down. Turn around, pistol whip the banister on the thing, and then had like he was scarred. He had this big red mark, like a line down the middle of his face. I'm like, well, this game's over now. So they tried to do it multiple other times that day. I'm like, no, we don't play this game anymore. You all ruined it by getting hurt. So
that was the only way that was ending, right? That was the only way that thing was ending.
Yeah, if they didn't get hurt, I would have just probably allowed it to continue for a little while. But because someone got hurt, now I got to stop it. Now the fun times are over.
He didn't, like, break skin or anything, though, right? He just had a red mark across his face.
Yeah, he had a pretty good size. I imagine it's probably bruising up. He wasn't awake before I left today, but it's probably bruising up a little today.
I don't know. I had to stop hanging out with certain friends because I kept getting in fights.
You just weren't allowed to hang out with them anymore?
Yeah, I broke my hand.
Oh.
I don't know. We used to go nuts on the trampoline. I had a trampoline and a basketball goal, and we played slam ball, and I used to get injured all the time. I never had to, like, go to the hospital, though.
How? Oh, for the I never went to the hospital for trampoline stuff, but I've broken many.
I get hurt,
torn many a ligament, separated.
I did almost. I did like break a window once because I double bounced off of the trampoline trying to make a dunk and like fell off into a window, but I didn't really get hurt. I just broke the window.
I shockingly not once ever got told I had to stop hanging out with a friend, and there were some that were definitively bad influences. But I don't know. I don't know that I was, you know, like, because I wasn't that bad of a kid, but we certainly, like, I didn't get told I could stop hanging out with the friends that we got arrested for while hitting mailboxes with a baseball bat. They didn't be like, hey, don't hang out with those kids anymore. It was more like, hey, dumb, don't get in trouble for hitting mailboxes with a baseball bat, which actually seems like fair because they were putting it on me versus the people I was hanging out with. Despite the fact on that particular evening of that, I was just going to stay home because I was injured. I had hurt my knee not that long ago. So I wasn't going to go along because I couldn't really participate in the act. But, come on, peer pressure. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go. And then we got arrested. So I didn't actually hit any mailboxes that night, but I was definitively in the car.
Was the cop just in the neighborhood? How did that even happen?
I mean, we were hitting a lot of them. I'm sure it wasn't that hard to catch us. It's actually a miracle it didn't happen sooner. I have not hit a mailbox since.
Text line.
We actually went down the block and replaced them all.
913
to avoid future trouble. I'll buy all the mailbox.
7610 from the 816. My parents maybe quit bringing different girls to the house. They told me to pick one. So this is an
pick one. Not that you can't bring a girl over to the house, but we're sick of seeing different ones. Pick one. That's actually a good answer.
Someone says getting double bounced on the trampoline, then in midair looking below you and seeing only grass is a scarring thought. Worst feeling ever. From the trampoline, when you know you've overjumped it, you double bounced it.
They'd let us get on trampolines, man. We didn't even have, sir, did you guys have like the net around it? We were free. Like, I don't know if that was a thing when I was a kid.
The net's not new now, but like it was a newer thing. I don't think any of our neighbors that had trampolines had the net at that point in time yet either.
It's a risk. It's a risk you run.
Are you going to get a trampoline for your kids? Do you have room?
They have
the
a little one.
Oh, they have a mini one. Okay.
They have a little one right now.
Do you have
that was
room
given
for
to me.
One?
That was given to me for free, and I let them jump on it.
Well, there you go. Even better.
I don't have a full size one. I don't think our yard would work well for, like you said, a full size trampoline. There's too many decks. It's like just there's not enough grass in the backyard, and the front yard's too steep, and nobody puts a trampoline in the front yard. So, I mean, I don't think.
No, I'm with you.
I've never seen that. I don't have an HOA to stop me, but I feel like someone eventually would leave a letter.
Put the trampoline right in the front yard. No big deal. just hang out
it's
there.
It's too steep anyway. So, no, we'll probably never own a full-size trampoline, but they've got a little one now.
There you go.
Sort of just had to stop hanging out with people because he was getting in fights. Was it their fault you were getting in fights, or was it really your fault you were getting in fights?
I mean, we were all kind of bad influences on each other.
The power of groupthink.
There it is. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, we were just idiots.
Yeah.
Young idiots?
Yeah. We used to damage property and stuff, too.
Well, I just told you I got arrested for mailboxes when I was 17 or 18 years old.
Oh, we blew up the same kid's mailbox a bunch of times.
The same
Why kids? The same kids?
Because we thought it was funny.
Was he your friend?
Yeah.
The same one.
I was like, or was he like an enemy?
Yeah, like they get a new one and get it fixed, and then we just do it again.
That's the random question of the day.
Last minute. David Tepper remains the NFL's richest owner. Tepper's net worth is listed at $14.5 billion on the latest Forbes billionaire list, which indicates that his net worth has risen by 21% since last year.
He's 20% richer?
Yeah.
I'm about 20% richer. It's all NBA Top Shot. I've diversified.
And the Panthers lost money last year. It's his other businesses that he's making money off of.
By the way, that's not uncommon. Tepper. Apparently, billionaires' net worth have gone way up.
They have.
In the pandemic.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
He's not alone in the billionaire getting richer department.
Yeah, definitely the Top Shot come up has been good for the show. For sure.
You're out here sending hundreds, thousands of dollars.
My account
money's
looks,
flowing my from Venmo, Gold's Venmo.
My Venmo account and bank account this week in particular looks a little fishy. I don't normally get stuff wire transferred to me on a regular basis. There's been quite a few this week.
Gold's been on the Discord channel. It's like the chat group, essentially, for there. There's rumor that they're going to have a pack that's going to cost maybe $1,000.
Uh-huh, and we're going to buy it.
We're going to buy it $1,000?
Hopefully, yeah. We're going to buy three of them.
Yeah, we're absolutely going to buy it. Because
like, the
$1,000 pack has one moment that, based on what's on the marketplace, at minimum $1,600. So you already make your money and $600. And then three of the rare ones, the cheapest rare card is $130. So you're already making a grand off this thing, guaranteed. That's if you get the worst of the worst. So that's why, yeah.
Which we've been pretty good at getting when we open the packs.
$1,000 pack here in the next month, they're supposed to have one. And yeah, absolutely, we'll buy it. Plus, we've made money off of it already. Like,
it's true. I'm really just reinvesting my money at that rate.
People wondered if we would ever see the actual money.
It's in my checking account.
We got the cash.
The cash has arrived. It actually went through. People were wondering how long it would take, but it's a done deal. There you go. That's last minute. Dave Tepper, nice life he's living there. Up next, we head into the 1 o'clock hour, and I'm sick of all the flirting going on between free agents and Chiefs. Hear what one of them had to say next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.